From Lake Wasota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Joined by somebody from the other corner of the state, over in the northeast corner, we find one Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who has co-hosted our Wednesday night show during its run, and now will join us on Wednesday mornings quite frequently with Kirk Bangstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company. But if there's one thing that boy from Stevens Point likes to do, it's surfing. And he is, I am sure he is somewhere surfing right now. Not something I would recommend that you do in central Wisconsin, so you got to go away to do that. Kristen, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning, and good for Kirk for being out surfing. You and I, Pat, we share some feeble joints, so maybe surfing isn't the best thing for the two of us.
You know, I was going to talk to Luke about that. We had the example of somebody jumping a Brewers outfielder jumping to make a great catch last night, and I can only wonder what jumping feels like anymore. And, you know, I don't know. And I love just watching Luke laugh at this stuff, because I used to when I was his age too, you punk, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Pat, but the Tyrod Taylor one was great. Like they called it a pogo stick, and I was like, no, he didn't look like a pogo stick. And then I watched it, and I was like, yeah, pogo stick is the best way to describe that jump.
Oh, I totally see it. I'm just saying that there are many things I miss about my youth, and my knees are tops on that list. I really mm-hmm. miss them. And Kristen, forgive me, but I know you had some work done on a leg or both legs. So you're running on some bad wheels too, right?
Yeah, both legs, but you know, it is what it is. And at least I can walk and ride my bike, and that's the important thing. But can I just like pivot to Lambeau leaps? Because, oh, sure. You know, I mean, we're talking about
Wisconsin. You were there Friday for the family night, right?
I was. It was such a joy. If you've never been to Packer Family Fun Night, it is such a beautiful event. The tickets are cheap, and you see families coming with little kids. Like, you wouldn't spend $100 to take your kid to a real game where it's mm-hmm. kind of intense. But, right. You know, you can bring your toddler to a game just to get a sense of what Lambeau is like. And it's, people move about pretty freely in the stands, and it's just a practice, so everybody isn't really focused on the field. But, you know, some things are happening. So we were over in the end zone, the south end zone. And at one point there was a touchdown pass, and one of the rookies ran over and he looked at the wall, and you could tell he was thinking like, do I do it? Do I take the leap? And he stutter stepped, and then he did. He jumped up into the crowd, and the crowd just went wild. And I think that is one of the greatest traditions in football.
So he made it. So he made the leap successfully.
He did. Which some people need assistance, you know.
I was going to say that has not always been the case. And I don't know if there's a highlight reel or a low light reel, but yeah, there have been a few people that have tried it, couldn't quite make it, you know, needed a little assistance, a little extra pat on the butt from the fans.
But it's a high wall. Well, remember Mason Crosby a couple of years ago, he kicked a really pivotal, not that all of his kicks aren't pivotal, but he kicked a really pivotal game winning field goal, and his team ran down and like scooted down and boosted him up so that he could make the leap, because, you know, he was maybe a little bit more like us.
What qualifies for a Lambeau leap for me these days is just getting in bed. If I can climb up and get there, it's been good for me. But you said you've gone back to riding your bike riding motorcycle too, right?
Bike.
Okay, so yeah, I didn't know how much you just finished a tour around summer, all of the Great Lakes. I didn't know how much of that was biking versus vehicular.
Yeah, I just like to drive places and bike. Or like yesterday, so mm-hmm. I'm in De Pere, so just south of Green Bay, and I just wanted to go for a ride. So I looked at the map, and I found a little place on the map called Champion, which I'd never heard of before. It's like 20 miles away from where I live, so I biked up to Champion through some of the most beautiful farmland. It was a stellar day, and the crops and the sky and the red barns. I was just in awe the entire time. And then I got to Champion, which is an intersection with a sign that says Champion, but you know,
that was there cool. A bar there?
Was there a bar?
Yeah.
I think there is some sort of a supper club kind of thing, but
that's close enough. Again,
whether it was still functioning.
If you have a name at a Wisconsin intersection, even if it's unincorporated, I mean, if it's got to be there, where, you know, where my wife grew up on a dairy farm, the intersection there was called Cato, C-A-T-O. And it was two bars on opposite corners, a little post office and a church. I mean, that just checks all the boxes. You're right. In Wisconsin right there.
What else do you need? Yeah, perfect.
We've been talking earlier about the election results from Tuesday, and I'm noting some of the Madison reporters have heard from Governor Evers, who went out to breakfast with his new running mate, State Assembly Rep Sarah Rodriguez. And apparently the opening remarks from Evers about Michaels was, quote, "Trump owns him and he owns Trump." So obviously Evers is not afraid to tie Michaels to Trump. It is what it is. You know, Trump did not win in Wisconsin in 2020. He probably would not win in 2024. Evers was asked about Voss narrowly surviving a Republican primary challenge, and Evers said, quote, "He has got to fire Gableman and get over the last election." The governor's already come out swinging. So we'll talk about that a bit. I should ask if I have not met Sarah Rodriguez. I don't know if you have, Kristen.
I know Sarah well, actually. I did a commercial for her a couple of weeks ago. Well, Sarah and I ran. We were rookies running for assembly together in 2020. Of course, she was one of few people who were able to flip her district down by Milwaukee. And she is an extraordinary person and was a perfect candidate, obviously. She's a nurse. She's a small business person. She is determined and fierce. And she's going to be an incredible lieutenant governor.
Well, that is fantastic, because again, you know, the lieutenant governor, you know, the office is what you make of it, which, you know, some people think that's a bad thing, but you also have essentially a blank check almost to you know, to make it something, so long as, you know, the people above you in the governor's office, you know, aren't pushing back too hard. It's one of those things, to be honest, I've kind of wondered about Kamala Harris since becoming vice president. I did think that we would see more of her, that she'd be a bit more active on things, because you've seen other people like Rebecca Clefish, like Barbara Lawton, you know, when they were in number two positions of lieutenant governor. I mean, you saw them everywhere. They really made something of it. And I definitely get that impression. And Mandela Barnes did the same thing. He headed up a task force on climate change. So I definitely get the impression, Kristen, that Sarah Rodriguez will not be some shrinking violet if she is elected with Tony Evers to the lieutenant governor spot.
You know, there's another thing about Sarah that I think is really important to point out. She is a former CDC epidemiologist, and that really gave her some street cred in 2020, which, of course, was the middle of the COVID pandemic. So I think what she brings is something we desperately need here in Wisconsin and all over the country, which is common sense, facts, evidence, science, all of that stuff that we believed in before all the craziness. We've got to pull it back in that direction. And I think some of the results that we saw with the primary really showed me that we are coming back. To see Ramtin's numbers so low, I mean, my neighbor has a Ramtin sign up. I've seen more Ramtin signs up here in northeastern Wisconsin than anybody else's signs. Mm-hmm. So to quell that crazy conspiracy theory piece, we're taking baby steps to pull our community back together and come back to common sense.
I think that it is a reminder that one of the things, one of the legacies of Donald Trump is that people who had what we would consider very fringe views felt emboldened. And that could be just holding a fringe opinion that's not based in fact, or it could be, you know, as extreme as, you know, violent anti-government, you know, rhetoric. But regardless, you had people that, you know, previously would be properly chastised, chided, maybe even mocked, but instead said, like, you know, alternative facts. Kellyanne Conway said, I'm allowed to believe this, even if it's not necessarily true. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've heard lately, you know, the past few years, somebody saying, well, I don't know, but it's what I want to be true. And that's not how this is supposed to work. And Tony Evers, of course, coming at it from an educator standpoint, has always talked about, you know, letting science and facts point in the right direction for sound policy. So he's got to think it's awfully nice that he's going to have a lieutenant governor running mate who's also pretty big on science and facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she is really charismatic. And you really get a sense from her, like, as a woman, she is a woman who knows how to lead. She is confident and positive and is all about, you know, bringing people together. So I think she's going to be a great pair for Governor Evers, which, by the way, have you seen his latest ad about not being flashy?
No.
Oh, it's so cute. Listen, folks, I'm not a flashy guy, but I'll always do the right thing for Wisconsin. It's just so him. I mean, I love him.
And that's what always has worked for him, is just stay on brand. Don't try to be something you're not. And mm-hmm. what he is again, in that mainstream of people who don't necessarily want something, you know, that's far to the fringe. They may have right of center, you know, opinions, but that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily go for the person on the extreme right wing. And that helps us transition to the state attorney general's race, because that one is going to have some very stark contrasts, some very divisive issues, with Eric Toney going up against Josh Call. Mm-hmm. We talked already this morning about, you know, what Eric Toney did as Fond du Lac County District Attorney to put somebody's life, put a woman's life through hell, charging her with felony voter fraud for making a mistake on her registration. So we've got what will surely be battles over election integrity, but then we also will have battles in that race about abortion rights, you know, reproductive health rights, and, you know, gun safety issues as well, and, you know, red flag laws and universal background checks. And so, Kristen, you know, as somebody who has provided abortion care and reproductive health care for women for, you know, many years, that this is something, and as I've talked to candidates, it only keeps getting reaffirmed. This is not something where, you know, women and the left of center population got a little upset and then things are going to revert to the norm by the time November goes around. This is not going to be that kind of a year.
Mm-mm. No, absolutely not. And I think that's what one of the things that Kansas showed us, you know, the way that things went down in Kansas with the referendum, people are starting to recognize that the abortion issue is not how it's been packaged for political consumption, but actually abortion is part of a much bigger issue, which is politicians intervening between patients and physicians, politicians making decisions for you about your own healthcare when you are the only one who can really make those decisions. So it'll be interesting to see how this continues to play out in states like Wisconsin and South Dakota and Ohio, all of these states where people really fiercely believe that they deserve to have this autonomy. Of course, everyone deserves to have bodily autonomy, but when you frame it differently than the way it's been framed over the last 40 years, I think we're going to have a different political outcome.
Well, yeah, because we're no longer in that whole, crafted narrative, you know, about, you know, that the anti-choice people have framed. It has now been made real. The narrative frame is much more real now of what real women are experiencing already with mm-hmm. prosecutions, with persecutions, and with threats to further infringe on their own bodies. And that was the vote in Kansas. It wasn't a bunch of, women and men saying, you know, we're pro-choice all the time. They were saying, you can't go that far regulating our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about abortion or contraception or starting a new high blood pressure pill. I mean, everything is kind of lumped in here. When you are telling somebody that they can't get a certain medication, but that medication is the thing that their doctor thinks is the best thing for them, it's frustrating. And it really has a giant impact on your life and your ability to live. So this, I think, is going to be the pivotal thing that is going to play out in the midterms. And we have what? How many days till the midterms? 90?
91, apparently. Yep. Yeah. So we're going to cover a lot of ground over 91 days here. And, you know, I think voters should buckle up. There's going to be more messaging than ever before. The amount of outside money that's going to come pouring into Wisconsin is going to be, shall we say, impressive. And the messages won't be, you know, all that kind. But, you know, we will find our way through this together, you and I and all the folks that we're going to talk to over the coming weeks. Kristen Lyerly is joining us for the rest of this hour and the next hour as well. And we will talk about more of the results. And surprise, surprise, Donald Trump was supposed to testify in a matter this morning and refused. We'll talk about that and more coming up next. You're up north.